hockey. Let's do that hockey.
Welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside Anthony, the backup. How the hell are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, buddy. It's a beautiful Sunday morning here at the studio.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning. The weather outside is great. It is a cool, crisp December day. Is it cool outside? I honestly haven't been outside.
It's nice outside. It's like it's like mid-60s.
Is that
it's perfect outside.
Is that good, though, with the sun beating down?
Oh, yeah, it feels nice.
The Power Play Podcast the weather report from the Power Play Podcast is what it is. We've got a great rain. Feels like rain.
Rain sideways.
I was about to say, how's the weather outside, Ollie?
Rain is sideways.
I saw a fish. Good stuff. We've got a great show ahead of us, though, folks. We've got start, sits, call-ups. We've got a brand new segment that we're going to be debuting in just a little bit. We have actually two brand new segments that we're going to be debuting on this show. We've got the Power Play Power 5 and the Christmas comparisons. It's going to be great. We've got a great show, though, but we're going to kick it off with a quick question of the day. And I've honestly been dying to ask you this question, Anthony. Just dying. It's been eating me alive this past week.
And what is that?
So the Rangers played the San Jose Sharks this past week, and the Sharks fan, I did a little bit more diving into like what Sharks fans are thinking and things like that. And a lot of Sharks fans they're really hating on Martin Jones. And they're putting the blame on him for just about everything. And in the game where the Rangers play the Sharks, 4 of the 5 goals that Martin Jones let in were not his fault. They were all on the defense. But the question that I have for you, though, stems from the fact that when a goalie is down, you basically put the blame on him so much. Where do you draw the line with blaming the goalie and where goalie needs to make a key save? Like, where do you draw that line? I'm confused on it.
Well, when the team's doing bad, you see it with whoever's doing bad. They're looking to pinpoint something. And so far, to this point, Martin Jones hasn't been great. I don't think he's the reason they are where they are in the standings. They're pretty down there. They're, you know, 5th in the wild card race, out of playoff position in their own division as well. And he hasn't made those saves that they have seen him be capable of. It's kind of like with Henrik Lundqvist right now. He's not particularly playing bad. He's just not playing like Henrik Lundqvist can play. So when you see Martin Jones letting up a goal, they're like, oh man, he could have had that. And it's a difference in a one goal game. It's easy to blame that. Now I've watched some Sharks games. I really don't think he's the problem. I think they're an aging squad who missed their window, to be honest.
Sounds like the Rangers.
But at the same time, he's not really helping, but I don't think he's the reason anything is going awry. I think it's everything. You don't fire your coach because your goaltender is underperforming.
Yeah, no.
That's a team issue. We'll get into that a little bit more later, but as far as that goes, I think that's just disgruntled fans, most of which probably aren't huge hockey guys. They're more of just fans of the game, because if you're watching the game and you're seeing all the other breakdowns that they're having, then you're not blaming just Martin Jones. He's just a piece of the puzzle of what's going wrong right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see those plays and I'm like thinking to myself, man, it's like, yeah, he could have maybe gotten it, but it's like, where do you draw that line between blaming a goalie for goals and realizing that, wow, this is the defense's fault? You have to have that balance, and that's what drives me nuts. It's like, yeah, Sharks fans are really hot on Martin Jones, and it's like, okay, well, I mean, your defense is playing absolutely garbage, and the fact this is what happens when you load up on offensive defensemen on your team. You play that offensive defenseman style of defense, and it's really bad. It's puck watching defense, and that's what the effect is. And we're seeing it in San Jose. So that's what I wanted to figure out with the whole where do you draw that line of blaming a goalie and not, and where, when a goalie needs to make a big save.
I don't think it's ever productive to be that hard on a goaltender.
Gotcha.
It is counterproductive to the goaltender. Any team that I've personally played on where the guys around me would look at me like I'm an idiot for letting in a goal, even if it was my fault, I'm doing worse going forward. Whereas if I'm on a team where the guy, after I give up a tough one, guy comes over, taps me on the pads and says, hey, you know, we'll get the next one, don't worry, keep going. That gives me confidence to keep playing. And I'm not saying his own teammates are doing that, but I'm sure he's hearing it in the media. and that adds pressure. I'm sure that's not helping anything for him.
Yeah, it's definitely affecting the mental game for sure. Absolutely. So that was our quick question of the day. Before we get into our next segment, I do want to plug the show. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media at the Power Play Pod. That's on Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. And without further ado, it is time to get into our Christmas comparisons of all new, brand new segment where we compare great things of the Christmas time to what's going on in the NHL. And we kick things off with probably the most common Christmas present that everyone gets. It's something that we get, we have to get basically every year. It's a staple of all Christmas gifts. It's the socks. It's getting Christmas socks, or it's getting the socks from your mom or some parent or someone who is actually responsible and wants you to be responsible. They get you the socks. It's that gift that really doesn't wow you, but it does the job. So, Anthony, what team in the NHL do you think doesn't really wow you, but they get the job done?
Okay, my team is based on just watching them, not where they are in the standing. Just wanted to have a disclaimer for everyone out there. But the Arizona Coyotes. So, while some people may say, well, they've been amazing, they've been wowing, if you watch their games, they're not very exciting games.
They're not,
yeah. They're 2-1 wins, 3-2 wins. They've had some 1-0 wins. They're getting great goaltending and solid defensive play from their top guys. That's what's winning them games. It's not particularly exciting hockey to watch, but without that, without those socks, you know, you're going barefoot.
Yeah, exactly. You're going barefoot. You need them. You have to have socks.
Your feet are getting smelly in the shoes. It's not a good situation. So you need that defensive play. Otherwise, your feet are going to stink.
I was going to go with this, basically the same exact reason for my team, and it's over in the Eastern Conference. It's on the opposite side of the coast. It's the New York Islanders, and the Barry Trotz-led New York Islanders, who play solid defense. They're nothing flashy. They have some stars up front, but realistically, they're a team that gets the job done with your two goaltenders. You have Varlamov, and you have Greiss, and both of them, you just play good defense in front of them. You score the goals that you have to score, and you win hockey games, and that's why the Islanders are second in the Metro right now, right behind a hot team like Washington. And they just get the job done. They're not a team that has that flashy superstar on the team. It's just, they just do what you have to do, just like socks.
So moral of the story, socks are like defense. You need it to be successful, but it's not wowing anyone. Socks and defense going hand in hand. Since the beginning of time.
So that was our socks comparison here. We move on to that guy of Christmas. We're going to move on to that party that you have. You got some family members there, and there's that one guy that you really just don't want anything to do with. They're there. You have to kind of socialize with them, but you don't want to. Who's that guy, that player in the NHL that you'll watch because you have to, but you really don't want anything to do with?
That guy for me is easy. It's Nikita Zadorov of the Colorado Avalanche. I don't want anything to do with this guy. If I'm in a room with this guy, I'm doing everything I can to avoid him. I'm taking smoke breaks outside. I'm going to the bathroom constantly.
And you don't even smoke.
I don't even smoke. I'm going to the bathroom constantly if he's coming my way. I don't want anything to do with this guy. He is on the ice. He likes to prey on the weak, which is people, which at a party, be like unsuspecting people who don't know him, who think he's nice at first, and then they get caught in like a 45-minute conversation. And I don't want that for me. I'm not getting caught in a 45-minute conversation. So Nikita Zadorov is someone I'm avoiding at all costs.
I'm sticking in the Western Conference with my pick. I figured you were going with, you have two players in mind with the same exact first name. So I was like, okay, where is he going? You said Nikita, and I was like, oh. And then you went the other way, and I was like, okay. So
Kucherov's talent gets him out of that one, because I could at least strike up a conversation about how good of a hockey player he is.
We'll definitely talk about your hatred for Kucherov in just a little bit, but hopefully. But my guy that I'm trying to avoid, I'm trying to avoid Milan Lucic, because he's just nothing. He's there. He's going to be causing problems throughout the party. And you're going to have to deal with him.
He's causing a ruckus.
He's doing his job.
He's the guy you know you're going to have to throw out later, but you're really not looking forward to it.
Exactly. And you just...
He's going to get too drunk, too sloppy. Exactly. He's going to be thrown up on the couch. You're going to have to get this guy out of there. But then it's too late. The damage is done.
It's too late. You've already been embarrassed in front of all of your friends family. And that guy... Oh, man. Oh, the stories. No, you remember... Anthony... So... Side note, side tangent, just because we love just going off the rails on this show, we had one...
I'm surprised we made it this long without we've been on the show for about 20 minutes now without going off the rails.
If this person listens to the show, I apologize for bringing this story up, but Anthony had a friend who will remain nameless who showed up to a party at one point, a family get-together, and he came into the party, like just walking in unannounced, like unannounced, okay.
Words.
Unannounced, just rolls in through while Anthony has his, at that time, girlfriend's family there.
Yep.
And he shows up basically fresh out of jail.
Fresh out of, my boy is fresh out the joint, comes in. My mom's like, oh, honey, are you hungry? He's like, no, I'm not hungry. While he proceeds to eat three or four large pieces of chicken parmesan.
And continues rolling through prison stories.
Yes, prison stories on deck. Not a good look for anyone. And that's it.
That's Milan Lucic.
That's the type of guy we're talking about. That's Milan Lucic.
Exactly. 100%. Absolutely. 100%. So we move on to, you got to decorate your house. You decorate the house for Christmas. It's a pain in the ass to decorate. It's a pain in the ass to unroll the lights.
It's a slow process.
Slow building process. But at the end, it's looking fantastic. And you're showing it off to all your friends. All the neighbors are jealous. And
you're posting it on social media.
Bingo. And at the end, this giant project turns out to be great. What team in the NHL is that project? That slow start and is going to finish strong at the end.
Why don't you start this one, buddy?
I want you to start this one.
You sure?
I 100% want you to start this one.
I'm going with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh?
Yeah.
Oh?
They haven't been great so far this year. They've had a lot of troubles. We're getting the wires tangled. You're having to go around the tree three or four times before you get it right.
We're doing outside lights here, buddy.
But I'm doing the tree lights because those are the ones that are the worst for me. I hate the tree lights. But when it's done, at the end of the season, Tampa Bay is going to be in the playoffs, and then they're going to be ready for a playoff push because they have the talent to do that. So they're going to be looking bright and shining at the end of the year. It's just taking broken bulbs, rewiring, multiple trips to Walmart to get new bulbs. But they're going to be there, and they're going to be fine.
You package back up the broken bulbs,
stuff it back in there.
And then at the end, when it's all done, you package those broken ones and say, oh, wait, hey, I didn't use these. This is broken. Turn it back in.
Exactly. You turn it back in. You're throwing it out, whatever. But in the end, your tree's looking great. And I believe that the Tampa Bay Lightning will be looking great, and they'll be in the playoffs.
I'm going to stay in the Atlantic, and I'm going to take the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that I love the direction that they're going. Yes, they fired Mike Babcock. They brought in what's the guy's name? Who's the coach for Toronto? What's his name? I can't remember his name. From the
Keith.
A. Keith. Yeah, there you go. So Keith comes in. Sheldon Keith comes in, and he takes this team. I feel like he's going to take this team to the next level. Guys are going to start clicking. Freddie Anderson's going to start playing lights out hockey, and we're going to see this team make a strong playoff push in the end with all of the talent that they have. Sheldon Keefe, stat checked.
Yeah, correct. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, true. So no, I think the team, like the Christmas lights team for me, would be the Toronto Maple Leafs. Slow start, fire a head coach, and then in the end they're going to finish strong. So moving on though, we've got two more left, Anthony. Three more left.
Okay, go ahead.
Words and numbers. Difficult. So moving on here, we've got the Christmas morning. You wake up on Christmas morning. We're going to compare what team in the NHL is like a Christmas morning. Like you wake up, you enjoy it, you have your good time, you have your breakfast, you open up presents, and then it's only 11 o'clock and you're like, well, what do I do for the rest of my day?
Yes.
You spent the whole month worrying about this. What am I going to do with the rest of my day? So what team in the NHL is good? It starts off hot, but just won't. I mean, it'll end quickly.
The Anaheim Ducks, buddy.
Ooh.
They had a great start to the season. You're thinking, oh, this Dallas Eagles might be onto something. Maybe they're not as bad as we thought they were going to be. They have John Gibson, who's a great goaltender. But then it just comes out in the wash, and they're not as good as they were in the first five games of the season where they were like, I think they were the first in the division for like the first like couple weeks of the season. And you're like, huh,
these
guys are pretty good. And then it comes out because they're not a deep team. They have some aging stars. They got rid of Corey Perry, a new, less experienced coach who I do like, Dallas Eakins, and I think he's doing well with what he's got. But at the same time, there's just not enough talent there right now for them to be successful when they have to face the teams they have to face day in and day out. So Anaheim Ducks, just fast starts, wake up in the morning, you think everything's going to go great, it is great, and then all of a sudden you're like,
You get your gifts, you get what you need,
and then they're done.
And then you realize, wait a second, it's only 11 o'clock. I just spent an entire month preparing for this one moment,
and then
it's all over.
And then you're done for the rest of the year.
Exactly. And it's all over. My team, I'm sticking in the West as well, and I'm going with the Edmonton Oilers. I think they're a team that, do you not like this?
I don't, but go ahead.
I'm really hating on the Oilers. I picked Lucic for the Christmas party.
That's funny, because Lucic doesn't play for the Oilers.
Oh, shit. Yeah. He played. Oh, wow. Forgot about that trade. Unbelievable.
Yikes.
Tough look. No,
hard-hitting analysis.
Okay, so I'm going. So this doesn't make me feel that bad for hitting on the Oilers here. So the Edmonton Oilers are my team that you wake up, you start off hot, and in the end, you start to slow down because, like you said, it's similar to Anaheim. They don't have the depth behind that top line. I don't think we're not going to see James Neal perform as well as he did. I don't think, buddy, you can sell down. But the biggest reason why I think Edmonton is this fast start, slow at the end, is the goaltending. Mike Smith and I don't think that their goaltending is, that they have enough. It is Mike Smith. Oh my God, this whole Edmonton-Calgary trade.
They've made a couple of trades in the past. It's very confusing because they keep swapping players.
It's ridiculous. I just don't think, though, Edmonton can finish strong with their goaltending, lack of depth, lack of defense. They lack in a lot of areas that down the stretch, you're not going to get what you need. But I will say that Darnell Nurse, Jordan Greenway fight the other night, unreal. Throwing haymakers, buddy. We'll talk about some scraps in a little bit. Moving on, though, final two here. We've got, what is the big gift for Christmas? The big Christmas gift. What team is that big gift of the season? The most fun team to watch, the thing you're looking forward to most at the end of the day. What are you doing? Are you excited to tell your team?
I'm waiting for you to finish.
So what team is the big gift, the moment you're waiting for during Christmas Day, waiting to unwrap that present, and you're going to play with it all year long, you're going to have so much fun? What team is the most fun team to watch, the one team you love the most?
Easy, it's the Edmonton Oilers.
What? Did you just change that just because of...
No, I've had it the whole time, buddy.
Really?
The whole time.
Really?
Buddy. The whole time. These guys are so much fun to watch, dude. They've actually been getting decent goaltending from Smith and the Koskinen kid who's young and promising. Connor McDavid is a human highlight reel.
He's unreal.
He's been able to stay healthy all season, which is rare for him. He's a human highlight reel. He's faster than everyone on the ice. He's super speedy. They have a good offense between him and Draisaitl. And like I said, they're just exciting to watch. They have guys who can fight, Darnell Nurse, Zach Kassian. And it makes for good, almost an old-timey field of hockey where their tough guys are giving their scorers space and their scorers are making it happen.
Well, that's why I don't think that they will be able to last. They've done it so far, yes, but I don't think that depth is going to be able to hold up throughout the rest of the season and their goaltending. I'm so glad this happened.
I will say this. To my point, they are second in the Pacific.
The specific
division.
Can someone get Anthony the Atlantic teams? Please.
Someone please tweet
hashtag
at
get
us.
Anthony the Atlantic. That's
would
too long
be
of a
super
hashtag.
Helpful. Anyways, to my point, they are second in the Pacific. To your point, they're actually on a 3-game losing streak.
Yes. And to your point, wow, so I'm actually going to be backing you up here. I have a little stat later for our power rankings, but the top team in the league, the top line in the league right now is the Edmonton Oilers, top line of Kassian, Draisaitl, and McDavid.
And they're so
with
exciting
62
to watch.
Total points. Stats.
Yeah, they're so fun to watch. That's why they are the big gift this year. If you're watching an Edmonton Oilers game, whether they win or lose, they're still exciting.
This is a West heavy show here because I'm going with the Colorado Avalanche. I think that they're incredibly fun to watch. I think that with that top line of McKinnon and Landeskog, Rantanen, somewhere around that, where whatever they're doing, I actually looked up their whole entire their lines and how they're producing. They have so much production all over the board. It's like you're getting the scoring from everywhere. You have two goalies that you really wouldn't have thought. You get two goalies that you wouldn't have thought to be stars: Philip Grubauer and Francois, I believe.
Francois. I heard someone pronounce it Francou earlier.
Francou?
And I don't think that's right, by the way, but I'm just saying I heard it.
It's funny. In my notes, I actually have it spelled phonetically right. Yeah. Francois.
Francois.
Francois. Francois.
Phonetically, that's a big word for you, bud.
Phonetic. I can't spell it, though. P-H-O. Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Not even getting into it, though.
Yeah, let's.
But the Colorado Avalanche, to me, is they're the most fun team to watch. They're that big gift that I actually look forward to watching. So moving on, though, we got our last one, Anthony. This is what ends all Christmas. It's the stocking stuffers. You've opened up your gifts. You've got everything you want. And now you roll over to the fireplace. You dive into that stocking. Normally a magazine pops out, a few nice little things of candy, maybe some headphones, something along those lines. What team is your stocking stuffer? That little cherry on top of a great morning.
I actually twisted this one.
Oh?
I didn't go with the team.
You went with the player?
I went with a player on a team.
I would sure hope so. You went with a player that's on a team. I hope you didn't go with
retired,
like a free agent.
Marian Gabrick. No, just kidding. I am going with Zach Kassian of the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh my God.
He is the cherry on top for his own team. He's on pace for a career high in points. He already has 22 points, and it's not even January. He's on pace to blow out his career high of 29 points in a season. And he is the cherry on top for his line, for his team. He's giving the guys, like I just said, space to do what they have to do, and he's chipping in offensively as well.
He has been productive.
He's laying huge hits on other team stars, Nate McKinnon, and no one can do anything about it because Zach Kassian
is a tough guy.
Besides Ryan Reeves, is probably the toughest guy in the NHL.
Oh, wow, that's a bit...
And he'll go toe-to-toe with Ryan Reeves without even thinking. He's a tough customer.
Tom Wilson?
Over Tom Wilson, yes, for sure.
Okay, that's fair.
And
that's
Tom Wilson's a tough guy.
No, he is, yeah.
But I think Zach Kassian, I've seen him getting... He's an old-school type of fighter. Where he is...
He'll square up.
He has that enforcer mentality where he's going to go after whoever the toughest guy on the other team is. And he's also been able to adapt his game to play with guys like McDavid, who obviously no one's going to argue that him playing with McDavid is helping Kassian way more than it's helping McDavid. But he's adapted his level of play to be able to keep up with him and contribute offensively.
You know, it's really
he's
fun.
He's that cherry on the top. They don't need it.
But he's a nice little touch.
You can eat that sundae without the cherry on top.
He gives those guys more space on the ice.
But it makes it more delicious.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's a very fair thing. And it's actually really funny because your cherry on top, your stocking stuffer after a great day, you got your big gift in the Edmonton Oilers, you top it off with that, with what the player that is helping the Edmonton Oilers. I am going with the player the goaltender that has been helping my big gift, Francois. He's been lights out for the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado has seemed to go down that route of going with two goalies, and Francois has been great. He is fifth in the league in save percentage and sixth in goals against average. He's played, I mean, they've split the time in Colorado, but when Francois' number has been called, he has been great. He is that little cherry on top. You've got a great team in front of you with a stacked forward line. You got great defense, producing defense, and Francois is that little cherry on top that completes an otherwise great team. And that is, I mean, that's my stocking stuffer. You open it up, you get Francois, you get those stats, fifth in the league in save percentage, sixth in goals against, and you're like, wow, this is great. I'm going to be able to enjoy this. This is a nice little capper to an otherwise great morning of opening Christmas presents. So that is our Christmas comparisons. We've got that was I like that. That was a lot of fun, actually.
That was a good little go through. The holidays are great, aren't they?
It is. It's a great time of the year. We're pretty excited for it. Moving on, though, we now go into our starts, sits, and call-ups, but before we get into our start, sits, call-ups, want to let everyone know to not forget to leave us a review, drop us a review on all podcasting platforms, wherever you're listening. Leave us a review and let us know what you think of the show. We would greatly appreciate your support, and your words mean the world to us. Moving on, though, start, sits, call-ups. Anthony, what do you got?
In true wild card fashion,
wild card.
I'm going to start with my call-up, Caden Primeau. He made 35 stops to get his first NHL win over the Ottawa Senators.
I think did he get sent down?
I don't know if he got sent down.
They called up Lindgren. They called up their other like.
Okay, I was not aware of that. I just know that he's my start buddy. You want to stick with one thing?
I'm just saying. I just wanted to ask you. I wanted to see if you knew about that.
Stick with one thing is Caden Primeau.
Yeah.
35 stops, first NHL win over the Ottawa Senators earlier this week. And a fun little fact about Caden Primeau, you played against him in the AHL.
I did. Back in the junior hockey days, not a big deal. I battled against him at the Philadelphia Revolution back in the day.
Yep.
You know?
Fun little
kind of a big deal. Yeah. Kind of a big deal.
Yep, D1.
D1, buddy.
Yep. And I am going to go with my start as the scraps that we've been seeing around the NHL. I mean, fighting, if anyone was confused
wild
about
card.
That. I feel like they've been up in the past month. Every day, if I'm not catching the actual game, I'm seeing on Hockey Fight's Instagram page like four or five fights happening in a night. And they're fights that are happening for purpose. Guys are trying to take liberties with stars and other teams, and they're having to pay for it. And that's the way you create a balance in the league of guys having a little more respect for each other. I think Drew Doughty said it best earlier in the week. He had an interview. It was almost a leading question by a reporter asking him what he thinks of the role of fighting and that it's going away. And he kind of laughed at it, and he's like, fighting's not going away. We need it in the game. Fighting is good for the game. We need it to keep respect in the game. And I couldn't agree more. Drew Doughty, absolute legend, Stanley Cup champion.
Dude, Yeti.
Gold medal winner.
Let's go Rams. Champion. Did you, I don't know if you saw that, but like the Kings were at the Rams game the other night, and like he said, mm-hmm. Let's go Rams. And it sounded, let's go Rams.
Well, he's got no teeth in the front there, buddy.
It's great. It was so great. It was fantastic.
That's pretty great. That's pretty funny.
So where are you going to next, buddy?
I got one more.
Wild card.
I'm sitting Charlie McAvoy and Connor Clifton of the Boston Bruins together. These guys need to absolutely take a seat. They got embarrassed on Wednesday Night Hockey. TJ Oshie comes through the middle. These guys, I don't know what they're doing, but they both got turned inside out by him on this in the same move just about. And then Oshie goes in for the easy goal.
Oshie's been hot, dude. Oshie's been playing really well.
He's been so awesome.
Not to take away from who you're actually sitting
I'm sitting them because it's like, man, you both looked bad.
It's a tough look.
You both looked real bad on the same play and the same move by one guy. But, man, Oshie made them look stupid.
Yeah, he did.
You got it, and I think that they'll even agree that they got to take a sit for this one.
Yeah, they take a big fat L on that one. Take a seat.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Do you have a take a seat drop?
I don't, but I have.
Well, then what are you looking for?
That one.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. I like that.
Couldn't find it, though. I got to organize this stuff.
I like it. Go ahead.
I got to organize this stuff. Moving on, though.
Yeah,
my starts.
Probably organize that. Maybe
my starts, my sits, and my call-ups. We are keeping with the Bruin trend, though. I am starting the Cedeno Chara tilt tour. Cedeno Chara has been seen with two fights this week, or within like a week span, I believe, against Tom Wilson and against Pat Maroon. A
couple of heavyweight bouts.
Big, big fights. I've titled it the Cedeno Chara Tilt Tour. He is just going around fighting some of the toughest guys in the league. I think that's what he wants to do to end his career, to maybe put the little cherry on top of his career. Just go out and fight the toughest guys in everyone's lineup. And I want to say he held his own against Wilson, but like
I think he dummied him.
He dummied Pat Maroon.
Okay,
he dummied Pat Maroon. Wilson and Chara had a good scrap, but I say that with question because Chara's such a big dude. Like, how can you say that he had to hold his own in a fight because he's so big?
He's got the height advantage over anyone else in the NHL. The only guy I think that would really be able to take it to Chara is Revo.
Is of course Ryan Reeves.
Revo would take it to charge because he's a good fighter, but his size definitely helps him in any situation.
I mean, the reach aspect of a fight has so much to do with winning or losing the fight. You have the reach, you're able to stretch out and then be able to reach the guy and punch the guy's face in. While the other guy can't reach, and it's a great advantage for Cedeno Chara, and his tilt tour is going strong. Fought Pat Maroon, fought Tom Wilson. Who will he fight next? I'm looking forward to it. So I'm starting.
Do they play the Knights anytime soon?
Oh, that'd be sick. That'd be ridiculous to have that. So moving on, though, to my sit. My sit of the week is going to the Detroit Red Wings, who have lost 12 of their last 13. They got a dub over the Winnipeg Jets the other night for their first dub in 13 games. And they are a team that has been really struggling. Obviously, it's a rebuilding team, but they still have one problem there, in my opinion. And I've talked about this with our boy, with the producer, Amish Mike, because he's also a big Wings fan. They still have Jeff Blashill there, the head coach. And you're waiting for them to move on from him because there's just no reason he needs to be there. I just don't understand why you keep Jeff Blashill here. And So here's a little fun stat. Within the 12-game – they were on a 12-game losing streak before they lost to Winnipeg. During that 12-game losing streak, we saw five coaches get fired. Five coaches get fired. That is an unreal number to have, all while one of the worst coaches in the league still has a job. I don't get it. Go ahead.
I'd like to shine some light on that. First of all, I agree with your sit. Blashill has proven time and time again to be an incompetent coach. And honestly, he shouldn't be coaching in the NHL, at least at this time. Maybe he needs more experience in the AHL or another league, or maybe as an assistant. I will say this. The general manager of the Detroit Red Wings
knows what he's doing.
Steven Yzerman, Stanley Cup champion. He built a winner in Tampa. And if you guys remember, in Tampa, before those, before these great years that we've seen for the past few years, there were some really tough times in Tampa. I truly believe he knows what he's doing, keeping Blashville as the head coach is a strategy. I think he's trying to get some picks for his team, and he's going to take a slow, maybe even 3-year rebuild. But then after this fan base suffered, and they're a smart fan base, so I'm thinking a lot of Detroit Red Wing fans are not going crazy over the situation.
Oh, they are.
They are, really.
They are. Amish is going crazy. Yeah, stepdad's going crazy.
Well, let me ease your mind that Steve Yzerman knows what he's doing. There's going to be another 2 or 3 years of this type of hockey, but in that time, you're going to acquire picks, you're going to get really high draft picks, and you're going to build a winner for another 10 or 15 years. So just get through that rough spot, and then Stevie Y will take care of you.
So
trust me.
So you threw the ball. I threw the ball to you. Now you're throwing the ball right back to me.
I'm not throwing anything at
because,
you.
And I'm running with it, and I'm scoring with it. Because
you're running with the ball that I never threw.
There is one big reason why Blashill needs to be fired, and it is okay to do it even through this rebuild. Their assistant coach, Anthony, do you know who the assistant coach is? One of the assistant coaches are for the Detroit Red Wings.
Enlighten me.
Dan Bylsma. Dan Bylsma is an assistant coach who was hired back in 2018 for the Detroit Red Wings, and you have him there sitting right behind Blashill. Why not get rid of Blashill and then see what Bylsma can do with this team? He's an experienced head coach, a Stanley Cup winning head coach. Why not just see what he can do and then finish out the season like that? You already know what Blashill's going to do for you. I get the fact that, yeah, maybe. I mean, tanking is not a thing in hockey. It's not.
It's not a thing to be
openly tanking.
To openly tank. What I'm saying is Stevie Y is fine with the direction of the team right now.
Yeah, he's not going
to. He knows they're not winning it. Okay, Blausman takes over. Are they winning a Stanley Cup just because Dan Blausman takes
no,
over?
No, but you're
no,
able to
absolutely
see.
Absolutely not.
But you're
what
able
do,
to
hey,
see.
Listen to me. All they're going to do is get a worse draft pick.
But you're,
that's it. But, that's all they're going
to
do.
But it's still the draft lottery, though, so they have a chance. Obviously, they have a chance to get the number one overall pick.
They're going to give themselves the best chance
at
doing that. They don't want to just miss the playoffs. They don't want to be a bubble team right now. Stevie Y is fine with the direction of the team. He's going to keep watching these young guys develop, like Bertuzzi, like Larkin, who's still young. He's been in the league for, what, 5 years? But he's still a young talent. He still hasn't hit his prime yet.
But why not see what Bylsma can do, though?
Because he knows what Bylsma can do. He's a
does
Stanley
he,
Cup
though?
Champion coach, yes.
He's a Stanley Cup champion
he's
coach.
He's a great coach. I'm not saying.
He's a Stanley Cup champion coach, though, with a team like Pittsburgh who had a ton of stars.
Exactly.
What can Bylsma do without stars? Don't you want to see what he's able to do?
He's a good coach, and without stars, he'll make this team a bubble team. Which they don't.
But how do you
want.
Know? How do you know?
I think Stevie Y knows more than us.
Okay, that's fair. So I'm sitting the Detroit Red Wings and Jeff Blashill for the long losing streak, and that's why I was saying
I agree
that.
With the losing streak sit. Losing 12 games in a row is not fun for any team, no matter what you're trying to
that's
do,
fair.
And I understand that.
That's fair. So I'm calling up, though. This one's a touchy one here. I'm calling up Tucker Tynan of the OHL Niagara Ice Dogs. I'm calling up best wishes to the goaltender for the Niagara Ice Dogs, Tucker Tynan, who was sliced open by a skate during a play against the London Knights in an OHL game.
So much blood.
I believe it was Thursday night. There was a lot of blood.
Yeah,
he was taken
to
the hospital. He had surgery done. He's in stable condition. He's doing well. But we do send our thoughts and prayers to Tynan and his family and the team. Moving forward, wishing them all the best to a speedy recovery and hoping for the best. That's what I'm calling up here. Sad times. We don't want to see it. And we are all behind Tucker Tynan through this.
Absolutely. Speedy recovery. Hopefully he plays again. Maybe we'll see him in the NHL one day. I know with the way athletes recover these days and what's available to them, guys are making recoveries on injuries that they shouldn't ever be doing based on past research. We've seen it a lot in the NFL with guys tearing ACLs, like Adrian Peterson, and coming back the next year and being awesome. We saw it with Steven Stamkos breaking his leg, coming back before the season was over. So
was
injuries
nuts.
Like this that used to be career enders are now just, you know, it's a timetable now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, yes, wish nothing but the best to Tynan, his family, his rest of his playing career.
Definitely, 100%.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. Hope for the best. So that was our starts. That was our sits. That was our call-ups. Now we move on right? But we move on to, we're going to be moving on to the Power Play Power 5 segment, which is a brand new segment in just a little bit. But before we do that, we have a little bit of news. We have a little bit of notes that we have to get through. We have to, this isn't paying the bills. This is just doing what we have to do, letting you guys know what's been going on around the league. So, Anthony, what do we got going on?
First of all, nothing.
It was a little too loud. I'm sorry. It wasn't playing.
It was loud. And right as you said, what's going on? And then you hit the button. You set me up for failure. What's going on? I quit. I'm done. I'm walking away.
That's it. He's leaving. He's going with his skates. We didn't even mention that. Wait a second. Pause ESPN.
All right.
Anthony is in the studio. You might have seen it on Twitter, but if you haven't, go check out at the Power Play Pod. Anthony is sitting in the studio here with his brand new CCM skates. Not a sponsor.
But we would like them to be a sponsor.
Bingo. Brand new CCM goalie skates in the studio while we record this episode. He is fully committed to the position. He doesn't have the neck towel on, but he's got his skates. He's ready to go.
I got the skates. I did some stretching before the show. I'm ready to go
here. It is unreal, this guy. Unreal. Skates on, ready for the show. Okay, Anthony, are you ready for the news and notes from around?
Do you want me to say it, or do you want me to wait for the drop to finish playing? Okay, it's a little bit lower now.
A little bit lower.
All right, let's go. So let's start with the Stars firing of Coach Jim Montgomery. It was for off-ice issues. Hope everything is okay there. It was reported that it wasn't.
I'm gonna sit you real quick.
All right, yeah,
I'm gonna sit you. You put Phoenix in here.
Listen to what I'm saying.
I see the stat I didn't read.
Why don't you read, buddy? Read. All right. Before I was really interrupted by my co-host who can't read.
Don't make me turn the drop
up. I'm going to go back to Jim Montgomery, who was fired by the Stars. He was replaced with Rick Bowness, who last coached as a head coach with Phoenix in 2003-04. He's had a lot of head coaching jobs, a lot of assistant jobs in the NHL. He's got a guy with a lot of experience who the insiders in Dallas say he was really advising Jim Montgomery on a lot of issues. So him being able to jump right in is really helpful to the Stars, who are on a bit of a hot streak as of late. That's why the firing was so unexpected. You knew it wasn't because of the on-ice performance, because they've actually picked it up lately. I'm going with another fired coach next here in our news and notes. It is Pete DeBoer. He was fired from the Sharks, as I stated earlier, replaced with Bob Bugner in San Jose, and Bugner was a coach for the Panthers last.
Oh, that's where it was.
He's got NHL experience. They fired a lot of the San Jose staff.
They fired just about everybody.
The fact that they didn't fire Bugner, to me, says that they believe in him, because he was ex-player, actually has coaching experience, could probably grip with the guys in the locker room. They're looking to turn it around in San Jose. I mean, I'm not high on them, but they're looking to turn it around. They're looking to be competitive.
I was wondering where he came from. I saw him the other night. I was like, where have I seen him before?
Yeah, some more sad news. Oscar Lindbaum from Philadelphia was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma. It is a type of cancer that attacks the bones and the tissue. So we really hope that he has a speedy recovery. Hope he gets everything he needs. Everyone around the league, whether you're Flyers or you're the Rangers, is pulling for this guy. Hope he gets better. Hopefully we see him again in the NHL. And
sad news. We definitely wish for the best.
I'm definitely going to be keeping him in our thoughts here on the show. We doesn't matter who you play for. Something's just bigger than hockey. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery. You're in our thoughts, Oscar, for sure.
100%.
Yeah. My next addition to the notes here is Jack Eichel on a 16-game point streak with the Sabres. They're still in playoff contention. Last year, we saw them have a really hot start, and they died out. This year, they've been a little more consistent. I think that they're good to make the playoffs, but maybe we'll talk about that later. That's not really news and notes. It's more of my opinion. But hey, it's my show.
Hey. It's my show.
Some more unfortunate news. I'm not a huge fan of Nikita Kucherov, but he did have to leave the game early last night against the Washington Capitals. Yeah. Took a TJ Oshie shot to the leg. Looked like the lower
right where there's no pat. It got him in the skate.
Yes,
it got him in the skate, right below the tongue.
It was a below the shin injury.
Yeah, it's a below the shin injury.
So he
blocked the shot, though. It got him right on the tongue, and there's no padding, it's the worst.
I'm not a huge Kucherov fan, but he is one of the best players in the game. You don't want to see a guy like that go out for too long, especially the way Tampa needs a guy like that to score, you know, 3 or 4 goals in a week span to help them win some games. And that is actually it.
Oh, we almost timed that right.
You didn't time it right.
No, you didn't time that right. The song was just about ending, and I could have ended on it, but
sometimes I have to look down a little bit, so I pause just a second. No,
that's perfectly fine. At least
look down and see what I have to say.
At least you're not me talking with super speed, rambling on like an idiot.
Yeah, you babble.
I do.
You're a babbler.
I'm a babbler.
Yes.
Babbling Brook.
But I feel like anyone...
What's that from? Babbling Brook.
Dan Cook.
Oh, Dan Cook.
Dan Cook. I feel like anyone who's still listening to us just knows, to just come to know that that's who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, they turn the speed down on the iTunes
thing.
They
got to go to half speed so you sound normal.
Bingo, 100%.
Yep, there it is.
So that was our news and notes from around the league. Let's wrap this show up, Anthony, with a brand new segment called the Power Play Power 5.
Was that your own like self-drop there?
It was.
Was that a live drop?
It was a live drop, drop. So we're starting off the Power Play Power 5, letting everyone know that this is our personal rankings of the top 5 teams in the NHL as of right now. Not all season long, but recently. It's like a weekly, maybe monthly type of... He's hot, by the way. Anthony Duclair is hot. Anthony's scrolling through the news on the NHL pages.
Like he's
the,
like you want to you know get with him?
That too.
Okay.
But he is on fire right now. He had a hattie against John Tortorella in the Columbus Blue Jackets.
He's bounced around a little bit.
And Torts hated him in New York.
He's in Columbus.
No.
Columbus.
He had him in New York too, didn't he?
I think that was Elaine.
Oh, okay, man.
That was Elaine. So he's bounced around, never really finding a spot. But with the Ottawa Senators, he's definitely playing his best hockey.
Definitely. So back to it. Power Play Power 5 debut segment here, ranking the top 5 teams in the league according to me and Anthony. So here we go. Starting off with the number 5 team. We'll start off, we'll go 5-1 here. Number 5 is the Boston Bruins. They're a great team. They have been great all season long. The reason why they're number 5 and not higher on the list is they've lost 5 of their last 6. They've been struggling a lot as of late, but they're still a great team. So that's why they stay in the top 5, that top line of Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasta. They are absolutely on fire. Like I said earlier in the show, the Edmonton Oilers top line of Cassian, Dreisaitl, and McDavid lead the league amongst top lines with 62 points, but the Boston Bruins are right behind them. Their line is dominating. The Boston Bruins sitting there at number 5. You agree? You okay with that one?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. Pretty much their top line is what's keeping them in. But
they're keeping them afloat.
For what it's worth, it worked for them last year. They came within, you know, 2 periods of winning a Stanley Cup last year. So it's working for them. It's just not a traditional recipe for success, not having scores down the line.
And one more fun stat to back my Boston Bruins at number 5 stat is the Boston Bruins are 12-1-5 on home ice at the TD Garden. 12-1-5. That's a good record. That is a good record to have, dominating, taking care of business on home ice. The Boston Bruins sit there at number 5. Moving on to number 4 is the New York Islanders, who we talked about earlier as your Sox gift. They are a team that's not flashy. They get the job done. This is what Barry Trotz does. He's not a flashy type coach. He's a coach that preaches keeping it simple, playing defense, working from your own zone out, and winning games like that. The Islanders sit at 4 there. They are another team that's hot at home, which is weird because the Islanders are normally bad at home, wherever their home may be. They are 12-2-1 at home, which is even better than what the Boston Bruins have done. And it's a team that you wouldn't think that it's hard to play for a team where you don't really know where your home ice is. Like you travel to Brooklyn or you travel to Nassau. And what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
You, the fact that they don't have a home. Yeah, that's funny.
They don't. Yeah. It's great. But one thing is we talked about them being the sock gift. They have allowed the least amount of goals against in the league. No team has allowed the Islanders have the least amount of goals against this season. They've been great. What do you what?
Do you know how many goals they've given up?
What?
69.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, did they play the other night?
What?
Did they play last night?
I think they actually lost last night in overtime.
Great. Because honestly, I did all these stats yesterday before the games happened, and I have not updated the stats.
But I'm
only some
is,
of them, though.
I'm looking at something current right
okay,
now.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Yeah. So the Islanders, though, sit at number 4 while Anthony looks at that. Moving on to the top 3 teams in the league.
They won in overtime. They beat the Sabres in overtime.
What was the score?
3-2.
3-2. Okay. Gotcha. So either way, they still have the least amount of goals allowed in the league, which is great. Islanders at number 4. Moving on to our top 3, and we go cat in the studio. Just smack her. Okay. Moving on, top three. Washington Capitals sit at number three, 14-2-1 on the road, which is a nuts stat. We had the home ice wins for the Islanders and the Boston Bruins, but the Washington Capitals are 14-2-1 on the road. It's incredible. They have been a team that they're on the opposite end of the New York Islanders. They have scored the most goals in the league, and this is something we've actually not talked about much on this show, and it's John Carlson. John Carlson has been one of the best players in the league this season. He is on fire.
He's been so important to their success this year.
He has, and
contributing in every zone. It's been fun. We want to talk about exciting people to watch, like we were talking about earlier. John Carlson.
100%. John Carlson has been a huge factor in the Washington Capitals' success. They sit at number three. Rounding it out, number two, coming in at number two, is the Colorado Avalanche. They are 8-1-1 in their last 10 games. They have been a fun team to watch. Like I said earlier, they're my big gift. They're a team that I love to watch. So much fun getting great goaltending from Grubauer, great goaltending from Francois. They have the biggest goal differential in the league at plus 31. They are a team that they're getting the job done. They're scoring goals. They're fun to watch. Nathan MacKinnon is on fire. He's a team. He's playing for the team. Guys want to rally around that. They did just lose Cale Makar to an injury, though, which is a blow. But when they get him back, they're going to be back rolling. They are the second best team in the league right now. And number one is the Calgary Flames. And it may come as, I don't know if it, when I tell you the Calgary Flames are the best team in the league right now, what would you say? Would that come as a surprise?
Yeah, I haven't been thinking of them as the best team in the league. I think they've
recently, and this is more of a recently.
Yeah, recently they have been, but you're still not thinking of them as one of the top teams in the league just because they haven't been that in the past. They're a newer team that I think we're gonna be seeing more of because of the upcoming talent, the fact that they're getting some decent goaltending.
That is true. And my biggest thing here is they are also, just like Colorado, they are 8-1-1 in their last 10 games after losing six straight. They lost six straight and then they picked it up. They're 8-1-1 in their last 10. And three of those wins for Calgary are against top teams. Colorado, 5-4. Arizona, 5-2. Toronto, 4-2. Calgary is picking up the pace. Johnny Hockey is starting to click. Matthew Tkachuk is starting to roll. Once they get that top line rolling, though, they will be cooking on all, firing on all cylinders.
Elias Lindholm leading the team with 14 tucks.
Exactly. Goals from guys you don't expect.
They got quite a few guys that are on pace for at least 20 goals this year. Tkachuk and Sean Monahan are probably going to hit 20 before the break. Johnny Gaudreau already has 9. He's well on his way. And like I said, Elias Lindholm with 14 is definitely on his way. So they're getting a lot of scoring from a lot of different outlets.
Exactly. And they're a team that is playing well. They are the number one team in the league. They're the hottest team. The Flames are the hottest team in the league right now. So that does it for the Power 5. We got Calgary at 1, Colorado at 2, Washington at 3, Islanders at 4, and the Boston Bruins at 5. That does it for the Power Play Power 5, and that does it for another great episode of the Power Play Podcast. Anthony, do you want to stop me or do anything and hold your finger up or whatever?
I just want to say a happy holidays to everyone celebrating whatever you celebrate, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. Whatever
Feliz
you celebrate.
Feliz Navidad.
Happy holidays to you.
Happy holiday. Wait, what's...
On top of the morning to you.
Oh, you're ridiculous. All you're right. Ridiculous. Unreal. So that does it for another great episode of the Power Play Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. And drop us a review wherever you're listening to the show. We love your support. We want to see what you guys think of the show. It does us. It helps us immensely. Immensely.
Yeah, even if you just want to comment to rip on us.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd love to hear that as well.
Yeah, exactly. It feeds us. So that does it, though, for another great show. For Anthony the Backup, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you, and have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.